Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Turn in your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 20. We're going to be there. I know that God wants to speak to us this morning, the message that he's put up on my heart. You know, today is the last day of the Olympics of 2024. I believe they'll end up with women's basketball, I believe, this afternoon or somewhere around there. You know, Rob and I, we've watched a little bit of that, watched some of the completion of some of the events, and because there's really not much else on TV, and so we'd turn over there to Channel 4 and watch some of these. We watched some of the swimming events and also we watched some of the track events, some of the races that were taking place. And there were many cases that if the winner had eased up at the end at any moment, they would have not won the gold. For instance, Noah Lyles in the 100 meter was one of those cases. Lyles and Thompson from Jamaica both had a 9.79, which required a photo finish to see who the winner was. And if you looked at the photo finish, you find that Lyles leaned in right at the very end of the race, and he won. He just leaned over enough to win that. And talking about finishing at the very end, all in all, I was amazed at the effort that the competitors would exert in order to finish their race strong. But you know, I was amazed at how every one of them, even the swimming events, they didn't let up any. They just went all the way to the end. Even if they knew they weren't first, they still gave everything they had to finish strong in the races that they were running or those that they were participating in. You know, Paul many times would compare our Christian walk and even his own personal walk with Christ as a race, in a race that we're running, an event in our life, something that we were competing in, something that we were looking at and going to the finish line with. Many times he would compare us to that. You know, we find some of those comparisons, if you're familiar with the word, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He talks about those that run well. They run for, talking about in the flesh, they run for a prize that will perish. But he had this whole ideal, and some say he came up with this thought when he was in prison and he's looking outside and seeing some of the competition that was going on. And so in 1 Corinthians 9, he describes a little bit of that. And then in 2 Timothy 4, we know that's a famous scripture that he has. He talks about finishing the race. And if he is the author of Hebrews chapter 12, then we find also he speaks of the same thing there, of competing, setting aside the weight, so you may run well. So I think it's important for us to understand this morning, if we've been saved, if we've been washed by the blood of Jesus, if we are Christians this morning, that we are actually, in some sense, in the spiritual sense of it, that we are actually running a race. And the goal for each one of us is not just to come across the line, but the goal for us is to finish strong. Not just kind of crawl into heaven or crawl across the finish line, but it's for us to finish strong. And I was thinking, if the competitors in the Olympics could finish strong in every race that somebody won't even remember 10 years from now, why can't we as Christians get our mindset to this, that we're going to finish strong in this race that we're running? We're going to finish strong. I think all would agree with me this morning that Paul finished strong. There's no doubt. I've had people tell me, you know, after I get through seeing Jesus in heaven and seeing the throne room of God, I'm going to look Paul up. Why? Because Paul was a strong finisher. Paul was somebody that was an example of how to walk and how to run the race of Christ in his life. As we look at Acts chapter 20, I want to read some passages of scriptures there. That, you know, because how did he do it? He tells us more than once in the scripture how he was able to finish strong. So Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials, which happens to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things, listen to verse 24, mark it down. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That he may finish his race with joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your presence here this morning in this house. We thank you for what you've already done down at the altars this morning. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do with this word this morning, how you're going to touch our hearts and stir us for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you think about finishing strong, and I want to finish strong. I want to come across the finish line serving God with all that I have. And when you think about that, I want to look at three key things in this passage this morning. And hopefully you want to finish strong with your walk with God also. I want to look at three things this morning that I believe that we can find in this passage of Scripture that can help us to finish strong. The first is, to finish strong, we must be in the race and stay in the race. We must be in the race and stay in the race to finish strong. Paul gathers the elders from Ephesus for a final word to exhort them to run the race properly. May I say, hold it just a second, all right? This is family day, so if your kids make noise, if you need to get up, don't let that bother you one bit. It's not going to bother my preaching, especially my granddaughter over there making noise. All right, so it doesn't matter. I mean, I know if you need to do anything, that's fine. It's not going to interrupt me, especially Maddie. Yeah. So Paul gathered all these people, and he gathered the elders of the church of Ephesus together, and he wants to encourage them. He wants to exhort. That's what the word exhort means. It means to encourage, to strengthen, to stir you in the right direction, to make you, to edify you, to build you up in God. And he wants to exhort them because he'll never see them again, and he wants to speak to them about some things. And the main thing he's got on his heart, he wants them to finish strong. He wants them to come across. He wants them not to waver, not to go any direction backwards in their walk, but he wants them to be strong men for God and to have strong churches. And the first thing he does, he brings them together. He reminds them of how he had been among them. Verse 18, it speaks to this. You know from the first day I came to Asia in what manner I always lived before you. You know, serving, he talks about how he served them. And serving is one way we can finish strong. Serving is an outward sign that you have entered the race. Listen, you got to be in the race, and you need to stay in the race if you're going to finish the race. And you need to be in it, stay in it, if you're going to finish strong. And first thing Paul points out is that serving, he talks about serving. Serving is an outward sign that you have entered the race. You know, people shouldn't have to guess whether or not I'm a Christian. People shouldn't have to guess whether or not I'm part of the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, listen, another thing I want you to understand this morning is that, you know, this is not a couch coach event. This race is not a couch coach event. All of us know what I just said, because we can sit on the couch and we can be the coach and we can tell the team how to play better even though we're not out there doing anything. This is not one of those events. This is something that you've got to be involved in. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Listen, it says you serve. Christians and brothers and sisters this morning, we serve Christ. I believe if you're going to be in the race, it's going to be evident by our servanthood to Christ and how we serve one another and how we serve in the church and how we serve in our community. And it will put us in the race. It helps us to see that. You know, as we can see, the natural thing for a Christian is to serve the Lord. That's a natural thing that comes out of relationship with Christ. This goes beyond the moment of salvation. It goes beyond that moment that we give our life to Christ. It goes beyond that when we get saved. It's a lifetime of servanthood unto Jesus Christ. Do we want to finish strong? One of the keys is that is when we get in the race, is that one of the keys that we're in the race is that we're serving God somewhere. As I look across the congregation this morning, I see so many different talents, so many different abilities. Some have the abilities to teach. One of the abilities that amazes me in the church is people that have that thinking about every little thing that they can help somebody else, or in those moments they send a card and all that. And, you know, can I tell you that's a gift? You know, God gifts every one of us. Why does He do that? Because it's the evidence that something has happened in our life also, and that we are doing something in the kingdom of God. We're in the race doing what God has called us to do. I believe one of the key things to finish this strong is to serve God until the day we die. Amen. To serve Him somewhere until we breathe our last breath. In some kind of servanthood. You say, well, things have changed. I get that, but listen, there's areas that we can change, or areas that we can serve. I'll never forget the picture. I believe it was Brother Nord and someone, maybe Brother Myers, at camp one day, and they were sitting in a chair. Their bodies had now got too old to do the work, and they had two young guys from Life Challenge, and they were changing a door, and those two old gentlemen were sitting there pointing and telling them how to do the work so that the young ones could get the job done. What was happening? Even though they couldn't move around, they were still serving God in God's kingdom. Amen. Servanthood. Somewhere, get plugged in. I believe this morning, if you're going to finish strong, I believe that you need to get plugged in somewhere, somehow, into God's ministry in serving. You may not be a department leader, but perhaps you can come alongside some department leader. See, when you serve, you're actually putting some skin in the game. You're actually getting involved. Just as much as baptism is an outward sign of an inward work, serving the Lord is an outward sign of an inward relationship with Christ. Now, Pastor, I didn't make that up. Let me tell you, James said it this way, but be ye doers of the work and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And we know James even goes, and I think I have it further in the service, but I think James even said this, hey, I'll show you my faith by my sitting. No, he says, I will show you my faith by my works. Servanthood says you're in the game. You're in the game. He wasn't saying we are saved by work, but he was saying if you were saved, you will have works in your lives. In other words, you will be serving the Lord somewhere with your gifts. You want to be strong? Serve. Another thing, as I mentioned, staying in the race will require humility and perseverance. Humility must be a constant in our lives. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19 says, as pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Humility is a great repellent. Listen, we know what repellent here is for mosquitoes and different things, but listen, humility is a great repellent against offenses, against being offended. One of the things I found out as a servant to the Lord, there's going to be opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Did I say opportunity? After opportunity to be offended when you're serving God. I'm going to tell you, it's an old trick from the devil for someone to come up that is not godly or not sanctified, and they're walking in their carnal spirit to come up and say something about how you're serving, even though they're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. And what happens is we get offended and then we quit working. I'm going to tell you, it's an old trick from the devil. I should write a book. I would call it The Bait of Satan. Oh no, somebody's already wrote that one. I'm just saying today, humility can keep us be offended. Doesn't mean we don't get hurt, but we'll work through it. It also helps us to keep us in the servant mindset. I'm no more than important, even though I stand up here and preach, I am no more important than the person that is sweeping the floor. Because we're all serving in the same kingdom. And sometimes we think positions lift us up to some spot. I always hear people say, well, I'm going to step down. I have a hard problem with stepping down because literally we're really not that high up in the eyes of God. We're just serving. We're servants together. We serve together. And one of the key things, if I'm going to get in the race, I will serve. And I will serve with humility. And I will finish strong if I keep those things in my life. Because that's what Paul did. Paul many times would say he's nothing more than a servant of God. Servanthood is a wonderful thing. Matthew 20, verse 27, 28 says, and whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Our example was Christ himself. Perseverance is a must. With many tears and trials, Paul says, verse 19, James 1 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when it has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Matthew 24, 13 and 14, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Many people will bail out on the race when things become difficult, when trials come into their life. All of us know people that have went through tough times in their life and no longer come to church, no longer serve God. They're back out in the world in the drinking places and all those areas, and they're not serving the Lord anymore because trials have came in your life. I'm saying today, if we're going to finish strong, we must persevere. We must go through. We must understand. We talked this morning in Sunday school class. Sometimes we need to see ourselves as a pilgrim passing through on our way to the presence of the Lord. It's those things, my friend. We will have those things in our life. See, this life will offer many trials and temptations. But notice the word endure. It means to hang in there. It means to go forward. It means to say, I'm not going through a good spot, but I'm going to get to a better. Endure. If you're going to finish strong, you've got to go through some hardship. You've got to say, I'm going to go through no matter what. May I remind you of Christ, our example? Listen, an unknown author wrote this. It says, it is well that we should think sometimes of the upper room and of the Last Supper and of his soul, exceeding sorrowful unto death. Of Gethsemane, the deep shadow of the olive trees, and his loneliness, prayers, and disappointments with the disciples, his bloody sweat, the traitors that kissed him, the binding, the blow in the face, the spitting, the buffing, the mocking, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the smiting, the sorrowful way, and the burdensome cross, the exhaustion and the collapse, the stripping, the impaling, the jeers of the foe, the flight of his friends, the hours on the cross, and the darkness, his being forsaken of God, his thirst, and the end. Sometimes we forget that our Christ had a mission. Our Christ went forward. And you can absolutely agree with me this morning that Jesus endured the trials and the temptations. He endured, and my friend, he finished strong. The enemy's job is try to knock us off the course. But if we're going to finish strong, we must get in the race and stay in the race. The next thing is to finish strong, we must stay bound by the Spirit. To finish strong, we must stay bound by the Spirit. Acts 20, verse 22 and 23. And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying the chains and tribulation await me. To be bound by the Holy Spirit is to be compelled by the Holy Spirit. Can I just say this morning that the work of the Holy Spirit is always working in our lives. He's moving in such a sense, in such a way in our lives. And sometimes perhaps we don't realize it. I've watched crowds as the gospel would be preached and the Holy Spirit be stirring in a convicting manner. But the Holy Spirit is always tucking and touching us and helping us to go toward the will of God for our lives. If we're going to be strong to the finish, we also must remain bound to the Holy Spirit. Come on, think about that just for a moment. Think about it. There's a lot of churches that really don't want much of the Holy Spirit moving. There are some that would say, hey, if the Spirit moves, I want you to get over here in this other room. And some wouldn't let what happened this morning at these altars because it's just out of order. And after all, what are those that are watching online going to think about our church? Can I say, I want the Holy Spirit to move. Come on, when the church is no longer bound by the Spirit, when the church is no longer led by the Spirit, then there's an issue. Will we even go in the direction that God wants us to go in? If we're going to finish strong, we must be bound by the Spirit. To be bound by the Holy Spirit is to be compelled by the Holy Spirit. Bound is a strong word which also speaks of being twisted and almost having your arm. How many remember when you're little, my uncles would get you and they'd twist your arm? I mean, it's child abuse. And I had one, they'd do this and they'd say, and you know, they'd twist it this way and that way, and you'd do all you could not to cry. They were mean. But let me just say a little bit about this word bound, because there's a couple of interpretations. I don't want to just preach it one way, but I think they come together. One of them says it could be bound by his Spirit. If you read the New Living Translation, it's a capital letter, which actually signifies Holy Spirit. If you were to read the New King James, it's not a capitalization, which means it's almost talking about Paul's Spirit. But here's what you need to understand. Either way, if you want to say it's bound by the Holy Spirit or it's bound by Paul's Spirit to move, I'm going to tell you this much. The Holy Spirit was involved in both cases. Now listen to me just for a moment. Many times we are bound by our spirit because the Holy Spirit has spoke to us the way and the direction we need to go, thus saith the Lord. And I'm bound by the Holy Spirit, bound by the fact that I want God's will so strong in my life, I am not going in any other direction but in the way that God wants me to go. Now if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me day in and day night and not letting up onto me, there's a different type of bound there. But either one of them, we are bound by the Spirit. Paul, whether the Holy Spirit was speaking constantly to him, you got to go to Jerusalem, you got to go to Jerusalem. Or if the Holy Spirit spoke to him one time, and Paul was the type of man, I heard the Spirit not to go into the land there and preach the gospel, I'll stay right here. Or Paul heard the Spirit, go to Jerusalem. At that moment that he heard the Holy Spirit, Paul was bound by the Spirit to do what the Spirit had said into his life. Bound by the Spirit. If we are going to finish strong, we've got to remain bound by the Holy Spirit in our life, bound by the Holy Spirit with our convictions, bound by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the will of God in each one of our individual lives to do what God has called us to do. The minute that we quit listening to the Holy Spirit, the minute that we quench the Holy Spirit, the minute that we decide the world is more important than the Spirit, then I will no longer finish strong in my walk, in my run, and I could jeopardize my whole race. Come on, folks, we need to be bound once again by the Spirit in the church. Can I tell you, God has not changed His direction. God has not made His mind up. I've got enough. And I'm going to tell you, when you know that God says He's had enough people saved, is the moment the trumpet's going to sound. But until then, God's will for the church is to be on fire, prayed up, filled up, and ready to go up, ready to shout up, hallelujah, and ready to experience the heaven from coming down into the midst of us, and that we enjoy God in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to move among us. We've got to have the Holy Spirit. Listen, to be bound by the Spirit is not without purpose. There's a reason the Holy Spirit will bind us. Or if we're bound in our spirit, there's a purpose for that. I used to have a guy come up to me all the time and he said, I feel the anointing. My hands are burning and all that. What should I do, Pastor? And I said, well, look for something. Hear the Holy Spirit. He's wanting you to pray for somebody. He's wanting you to put your hands on somebody. Do something. And I said that. I'll guarantee I had said that probably 20 times. And it went this ear and out the other. Listen, when we feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit, when we feel the moving, I sat there this morning, I felt even in between there, I thought, no. But I was feeling the tugging and the moving of the Holy Spirit to let Him speak to me this morning, or through me this morning. And, you know, I could have said no, because it's really in the power of that person. But I chose to let the Holy Spirit move. Listen, we have to have the Holy Spirit moving among us. In the passage here that we look at, the Spirit was leading Paul into God's will for his life. And that was to go to Jerusalem, even knowing he would suffer there. Listen, Paul was so bound either because the Holy Spirit was on him so strong, or the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Either way, he was going regardless of what was up ahead of him, because God told him to go. You know, we have missionaries that way. We have other people that have said, I realize that I may not come back from this thing. A lot of the teams that we have, they actually do take body bags with them, because they know they may not come out of that country. But somewhere in that line, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and their heart was so bound by the Spirit of God. Church, why does it always have to be a missionary story? Come on. Has God not spoke to us to build a church? Has God not spoken to our spirit to win the lost? Have we not had a word from God for this neighborhood that we will be the light unto this neighborhood? Why can't we get burdened and bound by that thought that God wants to do something in the midst of us? Did God not say that the gates of hell shall not prevail? Can we not understand this morning that we have been spoken to? Why does it have to be a missionary story? Why can't it be the church in America starting to get on fire once again for God and see amazing things take place? Has He not said He will send signs and wonders in the midst of us? Oh, cannot we be bound by the word that comes forth in life unto us, and that we can expect great things and miracles in the midst of God's house? Hallelujah. Can we not get bound once again by the Spirit of the living God? God said it, so be it, let it be. Can we not be bound a little more with the Spirit of God? Bound by Him. I'll guarantee you, well, Paul heard that one way or the other. You weren't keeping him out of Jerusalem. Some of his best friends got around him. The church at Ephesus later gets on their knees and weeps and cries over him. Agabus, I believe it was, the prophet, spoke of the fact, whoever wears this belt, they're going to be bound. My friend, if they would have told me that, I'd say, that's not my belt. Paul says, I'm going anyhow. Everyone that he was built the church with, all those that considered him a wonderful man, Paul said, the Holy Spirit has bound me. Gotta hurry. See, Paul could have at any moment decided to stay in his own comfort zone. How many of you like comfort? I love my recliner. And when a good show's on, a good Western, I love to sit there. And if I could get my wife just trained enough to bring me a glass of water every now and then, it would just fan me a little. It would be great. But folks, y'all pray for her. She's never got that far in our relationship. But we all like our comfort zone, right? We love those moments in our lives that it just feels good. Everything's great. And you know, we love those moments. And sometimes those are where we want to stay spiritually. But sometimes God says, listen, Paul was moving out of his comfort zone. He was going to the very city that he knew they didn't like him. Why? Because he was bound by the Spirit. See, if we're going to finish strong, we must stay bound by the Spirit. See, the reason I pastor, preach, and even attend a church is that I choose to stay bound by the Holy Spirit from when He tugged on my heart a long time ago. And all of you have had moments with the Holy Spirit that He's tugged on your heart, and you need to listen and stay by it of what God has spoken to your life. So therefore, I'm bound in my own spirit because He spoke to me. We don't want to quench Him. We need to choose to do. Oh, church, let us once again be bound by the Spirit of the living God to accomplish His will in this church's life, in our life. Let us be bound once again. Amen? Last key. To finish strong, we must continue to go forward in the will of Christ for our lives. Acts 20, verse 24, But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace. Listen, we must be determined not to get hung up in the past. Paul said these very words in that verse, but none of these things move me. What? Everything in the back. Everything back there. None of these things. We must be determined not to get hung up in the past. And listen, we can have a good thing going on back there. We can have a bad thing. It can be success. It can be traditions. It can be suffering. We can't get hung up in the past. Listen, I don't want to get hung up just because somebody hurt my feelings. Amen? And you know, my thought on this, if someone hurts your feelings and they've come to you and asked you to forgive them, you need to forgive them. And quit telling everybody how bad that person is. That's just a little extra. But the fact is, we don't need to get hung up in the past regardless what it is. Because if we get hung up in the past, Paul says, I don't want none of that behind me because I've got a place that I'm going. Where is he going? He's going to the finish line. He's going where God's taught him. He says, I can't run forward with all I've got if I got all this other junk hanging on to me. I need to get rid of it. He says it in Hebrews chapter 12. Get rid of that weight that so easily besets you, that sin that so easily besets you. He says, get rid of it. In Philippians, he says this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. 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 Never getting hung up in the past. Regardless what the past is, we've got to go forward in what God would have us to do. We can't push forward hanging on to yesterday, because it will hinder us from finishing strong. We must keep Christ and His will first, even in the midst of our blessed life. Even in the midst of our blessed life. How many got a blessed life? All right. You that didn't raise your hand, come down here. We're going to pray for a blessed life. Even in the midst of a blessed life, we need to keep going forward. Come on, I love the blessings of God just as much as anybody else. But may I say this morning, sometimes the blessed life hinder us in finishing strong. Sometimes those things that God grant us as a blessing end up being a curse in our life because we don't put God first with those. Paul said he didn't count his life dear to him. This meant that he was willing to give his life for all the purpose that God had in his life. And we know that the Word of God tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, which is the time that we're living in, but know this, in the last day, perilous times will come. And in verse 4, he says, lovers, men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We're living in those times. We must guard ourselves from being so wrapped up in the blessed life. Those blessings that God gives us can also get in between us and the Lord. I'm going to tell you something today, is that God doesn't mind blessing you. But when you take your blessing and stay out of church, when you take your blessing and don't serve God, then there's something wrong with the blessing in your life because it's not where God would have it to be. It's God first. Matthew Henry says, whenever there are there are more pleasure seekers than true Christians, and the times are bad indeed. Matthew Henry lived a long time ago. God is to be loved above all. That is a carnal mind and is full of enmity against him which prefers anything before him, especially such things that are carnal pleasures in this life. Oliver Green, not Offit, says the average church member today does not allow the church service to come between him and his pleasure. Prayer meeting, revival, or church duties no longer interfere with social activities. Almost any minister in this country would agree with this, for it is the simple truth that the average church member does not let church interfere with social life, nor with anything he or she wants to do in the line of pleasure. Wow. Folks, if we're going to be strong, if we're going to finish strong, we must keep his kingdom principles first in our life. Keep them first in our life. We must put God first. We all know what Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He gives us an outline and a principle. Pastor, if you'll come this morning. If we're going to finish strong, if Paul finished strong, we got to make sure that we do some things in our life. The Olympians, they didn't finish strong by accident. They worked out. They did whatever they needed to do to be able to finish strong in their sport. Because they knew this much. That if they could stay strong to the finish, they may be able to win it. My friend, today I want to encourage you. This is not a time to set back. This is not a time to say, hey, the devil's winning this thing. I realize the scripture says this, that in the last time the spirit of the Antichrist will increase. We can see it. We see it in our politics. We see it in our White House. We see it in our country today. We see it all across the world. But let me tell you something, my friend. That is not the reason. We just don't need to draw back. The church needs to understand that we are finishers. We can finish strong in our walk. And I want to encourage you this morning. I know we can get down about a lot of things in our life, and sometimes we can get that. But I remember, I mean, I used to run track, and the most critical part of a 400, it was 440s back then when I was at school, and we used yards, not meters. But one of the most critical part, it was to get up there, start good, run good, hang with that guy you think's going to be the fastest, and save a little energy. And when you get around that second curve, is when you give everything you got. There would be times, especially when I ran the half mile, I couldn't feel my legs, I couldn't feel my arms. All I knew there was moving because it was about to hit me in the face. But I learned a long time, if you can't finish strong, there's no sense of being in the race. That strong finish, my friend. And I want to encourage you today. This is not the time to think, well, I'm just going to kick back. I used to run the mile, and I ran it my freshman year. And my Coach Moore, I came in, and I got like second place. And Coach Moore says, we're going to make a state miler out of you. I hated the mile. And so every day I'm running a quarter. And we're running like 10 or 12 of them every day to get in shape for the mile. That second track meet I went to, I was dead last. Why? Because I didn't like the race. Yeah, I'll tell you. I could have been up there, but I didn't like the race. I didn't like what Coach Moore was doing to me. And I had a bad attitude. Hey, if you're saved, I'm going to tell you, you need to get in the race and like it. Why? Because if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has put you in the race. And we need to make our mind, we're going to finish strong. Finish strong. It's no time of sitting back. I'm not looking for retiring. I'm looking to finish strong.